Hello, my name is Dr. Laura Pfeiffer, naturopathic doctor, and today I'm talking about thyroid testing, making sure that you are getting a comprehensive test done by whoever your healthcare provider is so that you can then determine what the best course of action is for your treatment plan with your healthcare provider. So let's get into it. First, I want to talk about the full panel. The amount of times I work with my clients and the first thing that they say is, I've had everything tested and I've been told everything is fine. And while that may be the case, I always have a few questions. My first question is, number one is, what did you have tested? Number two, when did you have it tested? And number three is, what were the reference ranges that were used to determine whether or not you were fine? So I first just want to draw your attention to what a full thyroid panel looks like, because when we're looking into thyroid testing, it's important that we really determine what a full panel is so that we can then decide what reference ranges we're using to look at that full panel. So I'm just going to start from the top and work my way down. So the first test that probably looks familiar, if you're somebody who has had your thyroid tested by your healthcare provider, the first test probably looks really familiar. TSH is also known as thyroid stimulating hormone. Thyroid stimulating hormone, to put in very simple terms, is basically the hormone that we communicate between the brain and the thyroid saying, where are we at with our hormones? So TSH is going to tell us if we need hormones or if we're good to hold off. So anytime our thyroid needs some more hormones, TSH goes up a little bit. This signals the thyroid to say, oh, we need more hormones. The thyroid will make more hormones, just to put very simply, and then that feedback loop gets turned off. So then your TSH is going to go back down and stay within that normal range because it doesn't need more hormones. Now, in the event that your thyroid is struggling to make those hormones, TSH is gonna go up a little bit more. And then if we don't get that output we need, we're gonna make a little bit more. And so it's going to keep going up and up and up until you find yourself in this state where TSH may or may not be found outside of what I'm gonna refer to as the reference range. The second piece is free T3. Why am I specific about free T3? Because when your thyroid actually makes the hormones, or they release the hormones, what they're going to release is T4. So T4 is the inactive form of thyroid hormone, and it is going to be converted in a percentage to T3, which is the active hormone. This is the hormone we can actually use. So T3 acts on the level of the tissue. So this is what's actually going to impact your metabolism. This is what's actually going to give you that energy and help you have bowel movements and rev up your metabolism and help you to get on with your day in terms of energy. This is what is our actual thyroid hormone. Now, when we're testing it, there is typically the option of testing total T3 and free T3, but it's really important that you look at free T3 because when we look at all of our hormones, typically your hormones are going to be bound by proteins. So it's really important that we look at the hormone that is active and the hormone that we're actually getting at the level of the tissue. Next up, we have free T4. Free T4, again, free because it's not bound by protein. We need to make sure we're always looking at the free portion of the hormone when it comes to thyroid hormones. But this is the inactive hormone. So this is the one where, like I said, TSH goes, tells the thyroid, listen, we need more hormones. Your thyroid will let out T4. So this is the inactive, kind of the precursor to what we're going to make as the active hormone, which is our T3. Anti-TPO is antithyroperoxidase. This is actually an antibody that is typically seen in Hashimoto's, so an autoimmune thyroid issue. If you don't know what that is, go to my previous video, podcast, recording, wherever you're finding this, and listen to everything you need to know about autoimmune thyroid issues and Hashimoto's. Antithyroperoxidase is actually really important because what I've seen in my practice with my clients is TSH can be found as normal.
T3 is then run and it's normal. T4 is run and it's normal. But these antibodies actually aren't. And that can be the case with a lot of women. So just because your TSH, your T3, your T4 is normal does not mean that your thyroid is quote unquote fine. This is why I want to bring these up. So we have antithyroglobulin, or TG, and we have antithyroperoxidase. These are two of the most common antibodies that are found in Hashimoto's, and anti-TPO is often found in Graves' disease as well. So running the full panel is really important because typically with your healthcare provider, they're going to go through an algorithm. They're going to say, okay, first thing I test is TSH. And then if TSH is abnormal, I will move on and test further. But I would argue, and the research would agree with me, that you can actually have a euthyroid picture, meaning normal thyroid values within that reference range, and still have antibodies exist, which in that case, you're going to have symptoms where you have an imbalanced thyroid. But if it's not tested, nobody is going to find that problem, and then therefore you're not going to get the proper treatment. So let's talk about the typical testing. I already alluded to this. Typically, the algorithm is they test TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, and if that falls within the range, then you're kind of done. And I put free T4 in a question mark because sometimes doctors will test this, sometimes they won't, but at the end of the day, this is the inactive hormone, so it still doesn't tell you the bigger picture. Testing TSH, testing free T4 does not tell us, number one, if we're converting well, because some people have symptoms of an inactive thyroid or an underactive thyroid, rather, and their problem is that they actually are a poor converter. So converting, remember I said T4 was inactive, and we need to convert that to active T3 in order to use it at the level of the tissue. And so what happens is some people are just crappy converters. And when you are a crappy converter, your T4 might be normal, your TSH might be normal, but then your T3 is really low. And I will say, over just with the years I've been practicing, I've actually seen Life Labs, which is the lab where we do most of our blood work. I've actually seen Life Labs shift the range. So when I first started seeing my clients, their T3 could go as low as, I'm trying to remember, but I think the lowest end of the range was somewhere along the lines of 3, let's say. So anyone who had it below 3 would be flagged. But now I'm seeing in practice that the reference range is actually below 3. So patients could be at 2.8, let's say, and it's still normal. So what I'm trying to say is the Life Labs range has changed. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because you're within the range, things are optimal, normal, and healthy. So it's really important that we look at free T3 and free T4. We're looking at the ratio of how we're converting that inactive hormone to active hormone. And sometimes that conversion is the reason why you have issues, but your TSH is still going to be normal and your T4 is still going to be normal. So why should we test further? Just understanding where your levels are at within the range is really important. So for example, in Canada, in Ontario, where I am, we are using typically Life Labs and we're using their reference range. So just to put it into perspective, the reference range can go from like 0.4 to 4.0. Some labs will actually let you go up to 5, but again, it depends on the lab. So where are your levels? If your TSH sits at 3.98, we should probably take a look at it. And further, depending on what your goals are, from a fertility perspective, we actually want that range to be a lot tighter. And in my opinion, if we're looking at a goal of fertility, we are also looking at a goal of optimal health. And so why should we only be in optimal health when we want to conceive, when we can be in optimal health at any time in our life? So typically that range narrows between 1 and 2 for most fertility clinics. Some fertility clinics will allow patients to have a TSH about 2.5. But we're not letting patients go up to 3.98 in a fertility setting. And so my question is, why are we allowing that in a regular setting? Because where's the evidence that these women are still thriving and in optimal health with a TSH that high? Again, like I said, sometimes we don't actually see things reflected in TSH. I have multiple clients where I will test their TSH and it's about 1.5. Looks great. I run their free T4. Looks great. I run their T3 and it's low. And they may or may not also have antibodies. And so I don't find the correlation between whether or not TSH and free T4 is normal to the rest of the values being normal as well. I personally, in my clinical experience, do not see that. I've seen plenty of times where everything looks normal and antibodies are through the roof. So it's really important to look at that. It's also important to determine what your symptoms are like. So we have to remember that we are not just numbers. We are not just lab values. It's really important that we go beyond your lab values and go beyond you being a number and really look at what you're feeling. So if your TSH is 1.5 and your T4 is normal, let's say it's, 18, it's 15, it's within the normal range, and they're saying, okay, you're fine, but you're still exhausted. You have hair loss. You have weight that won't budge. You are constipated. Your skin is dry. You're having all of the signs and symptoms that there might be something wrong with your thyroid. Then we need to look beyond those values. Maybe we run antibodies, because if you have antibodies, again, just because your TSH, T3, T4 are not being impacted yet, it's still causing destruction and inflammation to your thyroid. And that can impact a whole slew of things, from how your thyroid actually functions to how your receptors actually receive those hormones. So it's important that we look at each person as a person and look at their symptoms as a whole, rather than saying, oh, you have these symptoms, but we're just going to ignore them because your lab work looks fine. If you have symptoms and we haven't found out what the reason is, we haven't looked hard enough. So that's a really important point. The other thing is reverse T3 is also a marker. This is something I don't typically run on a routine basis with my patients unless they're having additional issues. So their thyroid is just not normalizing, or they have ongoing persistent symptoms despite treatment. There's a lot of different reasons why. Reason why is because it's honestly not a cheap test. It's not like a $10 test. I think it's closer to $40. And so unless it's really indicated to add this specific test, I typically won't add it, especially since we're probably like, that's not going to be the only test I'm running. So maybe we're doing specialty testing, maybe we're running specialty testing plus a thyroid panel. And so we're in the like multiple hundreds of dollars range here just for testing. So it really does depend. It's not always about cost, but when I'm choosing tests, it's going to be based on what's clinically relevant. And so I don't run this all the time. But reverse T3 is exactly what you would assume it would be. So we take that active T3 and we make it unable to do its job. And so that's why it's really important. So if we're testing levels and everything looks normal and your symptoms are still there, and I'm like, okay, what's the next move here? Reverse T3 might be something we would look into, because this is going to take your T3, your free thyroid hormone, and basically hold it hostage. It's not going to allow it to do its job. And so this is something we might look at as well. Things like high stress can increase reverse T3. So it's really important to look at this as well. And then ultrasound or other imaging. So if you need your thyroid to be looked at, is there nodules? Is there something that needs to be evaluated further? Do you need a biopsy taken? Maybe your thyroid levels are off and it's because you have a lump that needs to be looked at. So it's really important to know that when we do a full thyroid panel, it gives us more indicators to determine whether or not we need to look further. And when your values are normal, again, what does your normal mean? Like I said, the range is huge. The range is based on, and I'm going to put in quotations, a healthy population, and they take the average. And so what does healthy mean, right? Like, who are they looking at? And are they looking at men and women and lumping them together? Yes. So it's really important that we look at how these are actually determined and go from there. What are your goals? Like I said, with fertility, we actually narrow the range. So our goal is a lot more precise of a range. When I work with clients, my goal is to get your symptoms better. My goal is not necessarily to get you into a specific window, to get you to a specific number. My goal is for you to have better energy and better sleep and better mood and not lose your hair and be able to lose weight and be able to exercise and feel really good. And then we look at normal versus optimal. Like I said, just because you're within the range doesn't mean you are fine. And how did you go for your blood work? So let's just talk about this really quickly. a lot of my clients who are on Synthroid, so Synthroid is synthetic T4. This is the typical treatment that you're going to be given for your thyroid issues. There are a couple brand names, but typically in Canada, in Ontario where I am, my clients are given Synthroid by their doctor. Now, if you take that right before you go for blood work, it's not going to give us a true value of what your hormones look like. You need to get your blood work done in the morning, fasted, before you take your medication. That's going to make a huge difference on your thyroid hormone management, because if you get your blood work, obviously, right after you take your medication, it's going to show me the levels of medication rather than how your body is kind of leveling out throughout the day. And then I want to talk, about medication versus natural treatments. Let me just get back here. Oh no. Okay, it doesn't look like it's going to update here. There it is. So medication versus natural treatments, you don't necessarily have to choose. So sometimes patients will see me or clients will see me and they'll say, I'm on Synthroid and my goal is to get off. And that's not necessarily my goal. My goal is to support their thyroid in whatever way possible. Now I know that if you're being given Synthroid or levothyroxine or something similar, a synthetic T4, I know you're being given synthetic T4. If your issue is that you're a poor converter, you're not converting T4 to active T3, well, then there's where we need to support, because giving you synthetic T4 will not help your conversion to T3, right? And so now we're looking at, okay, where does conversion happen? It happens in the liver, it happens in the gut. And what are we giving? Are we giving nutrients to help with conversion? How are we improving that conversion? We can always support you on top of being on that. And then you ask yourself, is there an autoimmune component? So is there antibodies there that we need to worry about? Is this something we need to bring down? Because levothyroxine or synthetic T4 has been shown in multiple research papers to not bring down antibodies. It normalizes TSH, but it doesn't help conversion and it doesn't bring down antibodies. So this is where we're using complementary therapies to help improve and to help level up the treatment that you already have done. And then are you pregnant or planning to become pregnant? That's going to change the game, because if you are within the quote unquote normal range, like I said, 3.5, let's say, that's still within the normal range. But if you're planning to become pregnant, you may actually benefit from being put on a low dose of thyroid medication or doing some natural treatments depending on what your case is. Maybe you don't have an autoimmune component. Maybe you would be okay without medication. But this is always for you and your practitioner to determine. And this is something that I'll talk with my patients about. So making sure that you understand that natural is not always better. Medication is sometimes necessary, but we can always complement therapies to make your thyroid work optimally.